There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcasts at DubaiEye1038.com.
Sarah Palin has called Sacha Baron Cohen evil, exploitative, and sick after revealing that the satirist had duped her into an interview for an upcoming series by posing as a wounded military veteran. The actor had apparently spent a year undercover filming a new project for the Showtime channel. The series, Who is America?, explores a range of figures across the political and cultural spectrum and is reported to feature interviews with the likes of Bernie Sanders, Dick Cheney, and a certain Sarah Palin. A teaser released for the show features a clip of Cheney being asked to sign a waterboarding kit. This is just a little element of that, as was reported by CNN.
He's a man of many names.
Vatha! I'm Bruno.
From Bruno to Borat.
It's nice.
To rapper Ali G. But in his new Showtime series called Who is America? Instead of sniffing owners at a dog show.
You want to smell me?
No, I'll pass.
Sacha Baron Cohen will reportedly be sniffing around people like Sarah Palin and Bernie Sanders, according to Matt Drudge, not to mention former Vice President Dick Cheney.
Dick Cheney, is it possible to sign my waterboard?
Sure.
That's a first. That's the first time I've ever signed a waterboard.
Actually, a water jug, with the former Vice President promoting the show.
So those are just a few of the clips that are coming from the latest project by Sacha Baron Cohen to discuss this particular project, but also the wider concept of comedy in film and on our screens. We are blessed to have in studio with us none other than the film critic for Al Arabiya and Arab News, William Mullally, joins us live in studio. William, thanks so much indeed for your time this morning. Much appreciated.
Well, thank you for having me.
Has he gone too far this time round, specifically Sacha Baron Cohen?
I would say he's going exactly where he should have been going for the last 10 years. I mean, this is what he made his name on in the first place back with the Ali G show in the early 2000s. He would, you know, send up people and bring out their... He would play characters to get them to lower their guard, you know, and bring out their, you know, the more hateful sides, the more bigoted sides. And he would expose, you know, dark sides and, you know, truths with his comedy. That's when he was best. I mean, he can also be extremely silly, but when he's punching upwards, that's when he's most effective. And so I think with this show, we all hoped that he would eventually get back to that after he's had a few comedy misfires with, you know, The Dictator and such. And it seems with, you know, going after poor Hunter and former president, vice president, Dick Cheney, and reality TV star and former governor of Alaska, Sarah Palin, he's doing exactly that.
In terms of what you know of the project, is it being closely guarded? And are we being sort of spoon-fed just elements of it? And when can we expect to see it in full, do you know?
I mean, I think what a lot of people saw is, you know, possibly the tragedy of Borat was that he got so famous that he couldn't go undercover anymore.
Yeah.
So I think he was purposefully lying low and, you know, staying off the radar so that he could go back and pitch a... I think Sarah Palin revealed that it's going to be a fake historical documentary is what they were telling people for the Showtime network. And he was in enough, you know, garb and makeup so that he could trick people into doing this again. So I'm just glad that he was lying low so that people fell for it.
So you had an issue with this, didn't you?
Well, yeah. In this case, I think what people are taking offense to is that he dressed up as a fake injured war veteran. Is that going too far in terms of taking on a character that nobody's going to question? I mean, his other characters are completely absurd and ridiculous.
I think with his other characters, you never really got the idea that he was mocking the people that he was supposedly representing with those characters. You know, he's more taking advantage of other people's perceptions of who those characters are. So in dressing up as a wounded military veteran, he can, you know, have Sarah Palin drop her guard in a situation that if it was a different sort of interview, she wouldn't. So it's more the tool that he's going to get the comedy, you know, the true butt of the joke, which is Sarah Palin, and not the military veteran. So I think she's just trying to spin it to, you know, save face.
It's an interesting one, isn't it? I mean, because we're discussing Sacha Baron Cohen, and he's come in for a lot of criticism. We've been looking at a number of the news feeds over the last couple of days. Of course, the likes of Palin and Cheney are going to be, they feel outraged because they have been duped in this one, and they probably will come out of it after the editorial cut as in a very bad light. Is there anything wrong with that? And I suppose what I'm trying to get to here is this: the age of outrage that we live in at the moment. Is this just material that fuels that outrage?
I mean, I think there's a lot of different types of outrage going on.
Yeah.
And I think the mistake that people make, and I think the thing that people like Sarah Palin and Dick Cheney take advantage of, is that you view those two things as equal. So the same way that, you know, people making fun of jokes on Sarah Huckabee Sanders at the White House Correspondents' Dinner, it's like, oh, how dare she? She's a person. It's like, okay, no. She's not on the same platform as the rest of us.
Yeah.
You know, she's a public figure who has, you know, committed things that a lot of people are very unhappy with and has a right to sit there and take a joke every once in a while.
In terms of, you know, who is a target as well, I suppose we've all been, you are a revered and an award-winning critic, and it's great to have you here with us as well. It's your life, it's your job to look at content and critique it as well. We've all become that, though, haven't we, in the digital age with social media. We can therefore critique these particular projects and individuals accordingly as well. Is that making it more difficult for comedians to come up with original content without getting a backlash, or is that what they are encouraging as well?
I think it's absolutely making it more difficult for comedians. And I think you've seen a lot of that with a lot of the older comedians, you know, the Dave Chappelle's, the Ricky Gervais's, having their Netflix specials and then immediately being criticized. And they're so upset with that. They don't know how to handle that, because for years they could say whatever they wanted and there was no, I don't know, you know, recourse for that. Now we can critique them. And I think that it just keeps comedians on their edge, you know, keeps them sharp. And if we can, you know, call them to task, that can only make the material better.
Let's get thoughts from Zach in studio with us. Zach's joined us here at Dubai Eye for the next month or so. He's getting experience. He's been thrown in at the deep end. He's here on the agenda as well. How did you read this story? Are you outraged?
I completely agree in the sense that Sacha Baron Cohen is doing exactly what he's known for. But in the sense that when you mentioned Ricky Gervais being outraged by what's going on now, in his new Netflix special, Humanity, he's directly addressed this issue. He's directly spoken about how he's not making fun of the topic or the victim. He's making fun of the situation around it. And he's actually had to explain himself now because of everyone criticizing him all the time.
I mean, I think with Ricky, he knows what he's doing. He pretends that he's just responding to the outrage, and then he takes it a little farther than he's supposed to.
He always does.
So I think he can't help himself but, you know, drop that facade every once in a while.
Let's talk the vehicle, if we can, because Sacha Baron Cohen is using Showtime here for this latest new series as well. Therefore, they're able to sort of drip feed elements of that as well. Has the Netflix era, and the ability for us to get video on demand, is that contributing to a new kind of comedy on our screens or not, as per se the traditional film format?
I mean, I think that it's really, I think Netflix showed everyone that when they looked at how people were using their platform, is that people really wanted a lot more comedy than they were getting.
Yeah.
You know, before, comedy would be kind of, you know, banished to late night TV or here in the little bits and pieces. People want this, and they want these voices in their life all the time. So I do think that we're getting more comedy than ever before, and it's made comedians more relevant, and they're able to get their message out more quickly than ever before. So I do think that it's really a wonderful time for comedy.
And what about in terms of comedians sort of transferring their skills from one screen to another as well? If they start out on the comedy route, then of course they get their own show, or they've been featured on Saturday Night Live or other shows around the world, then they get the first major feature film as well. Is it a sort of natural progression for comedians these days? Is that the sort of route they are looking to go down?
I mean, I think that now, previously there were just a very few slots. You know, there's three late night shows. You know, traditionally there were only two. For a long time there was only just Johnny Carson for 30 years knocking around on NBC. I think that we have so many different ways that people can get out there. So many different people can have talk shows at all times. Even Michelle Wolf got a Netflix show, you know, 2 weeks after the Correspondents' Dinner. So I do think that there's many different ways that people can get their voices out. They don't necessarily have to, you know, work on a pilot and get a sitcom out as fast as possible.
But in terms, from a producer's point of view, from what you know, talking to people in the business over in Hollywood and around the world as well, I mean, can if a comedian has established themselves in their own field as well, are they a positive addition to a film? Can they help to sell and market that film accordingly?
I think so, and I think you've even seen, you know, less traditional comedians, you know, the sorts of YouTube personalities who a lot of people might, you know, that like traditional stand-up comedy wouldn't attribute as comedians. They're finding ways to get, I think we saw Haters Back Off, the YouTube comedian who had a two seasons on Netflix. We've seen a lot of different films pop up from, you know, different teenagers, you know, 14-year-olds who have gotten their own films very quickly and found an audience that people didn't even know was there. So I do think that they can help bring films to completely different audiences than aren't following the traditional media.
One more from me before we go to a quick break for you as well. And maybe this is a bit of an unfair one, but we have seen examples in the past of comedians who've helped to sell blockbusters. There are a number of examples out there. Are there comedians that just haven't transferred to the big screen? Are there comedians that are probably better off live on stage or otherwise and have failed in their feature film quest?
Yeah, I do think that there's a lot of comedians, especially I think the podcast world has been a great world for comedians to thrive and show off more, you know, character acting, those sorts of, you know, people who aren't just going to get up on a stage and make jokes, people who can really, you know, do something like a Sacha Baron Cohen and just become someone else. James Adomian comes to mind, who did a wonderful impression of Bernie Sanders all last year, you know, popping up different places. He's never really figured out as an actor. He's a friend of a friend, and I really hope someone would just give him a film, because a lot of people like Zach Galifianakis comes to mind. He was under the radar for 10 years before he had The Hangover and became one of the biggest stars in the world.
Yeah.
So I do think that it can take a while, but eventually the most talented people do find the right platform for them.
Comedy in the age of outrage. Can or when do jokes go too far? And how do they translate onto your screen, your big screen, your small screen, even onto your smartphone? In conversation with William Mullally, film critic for Al Arabiya and Arab News here in the region. We're getting his thoughts on this latest Sacha Baron Cohen story that's doing the rounds. Basically, Sacha Baron Cohen is back to his best, really. He is shocking and awing as he gets yet more content, creative content, original content from some of the big guns in American politics. Is something that has caused a lot of people to say he's gone too far again. And surely this is a criticism that has been leveled at him in the past. So when can comedy and can comedy go too far? Can and when it do jokes go too far? Well, let's go to the source. Let's speak to Salman Qureshi, revered and award-winning Dubai-based comedian who joins us live on the line now. Salman, good morning to you.
Hi, morning. Thanks for having me.
Let's just get your reactions first and foremost to this Sacha Baron Cohen story. So you're a comedian. He's a comedian.
Yes.
He's getting criticism for the way that he's sourced his comedy in this sense. Is that fair?
I think it's fair. I think when you're doing comedy, everything is fair. I'm not a particular fan of his work, but I actually quite like his bravery. It's quite funny.
He's been criticized by a number of media sources for his bravery, for the way he's gone about getting some of the comments that he has. He's also come in for a lot of complaints and bad reviews online from a number of those using social media. Question to you, is social media making it more difficult or is it a creative tool for you to come up with content?
No, I think social media has started becoming a problem for comedians because we tend to have to watch what we're saying on it, and there's, like you said, you know, a whole backlash, and people are very quick to judge and ride the wave, as I would call it. So, no, I think it's been detrimental to comedy in some ways.
Salman, as a comedian, do you ever think about reactions from your audience but when you're writing a joke? Do you ever think, oh, what if people think this is going too far?
Yes, if you've been doing comedy for a while, your audience starts expecting something off you, and so that thought crosses my mind, but I push it aside because I think you won't have growth if you let that thought overpower you. So I push on, and I think the best thing is you, especially in live comedy, you get a reaction there and then, and I know a joke has worked or not. So for me, that's the ultimate final call of my line of comedy then.
And in terms, I mean, obviously, you're a man who's performed extensively here in the region and overseas as well. Do you have to change your content accordingly depending on your geography?
Not so much geography, because although we live in a Middle East in the region, there are a lot of expats, and so yeah. There's actually a more broader cut of population around here. So it might depend on the night at where I'm performing, if it's a private corporate event or a restaurant with loads of different people. But largely, it's been quite interesting. Obviously, you do a lot more local stuff and local references that resonate best. So I would add those things in depending on where I'm performing.
And one more from me, Simon, for you. I mean, obviously, in conversation with William here, we've talked about the likes of Ricky Gervais. We've talked about the likes of Frankie Boyle. You know, comedians that have come to the fore in recent times, partly because of the fact that nothing is off the table for them. Again, is that something that you think is challenging young comedians coming into the circuit at the moment, that you need to have shock and awe to make your name these days?
It's something that people are falling for. I don't think it's necessary. I think there's still you really need to identify what you find funny. And if you're not doing something that you find funny, you'll make it harder to get other people to laugh at things. So when you're starting out, I get it. You know, you're role modeling with people who are supposedly successful for certain things, but I think they just found something that's funny for them. And like I said, they don't make me laugh. Some of these guys don't make me laugh, but I admire their work. And so I would tell comics, find your own footing.
Salman, always good to chat with you. Thanks so much indeed, my friend. That's Salman Qureshi, Dubai-based comedian here in the region. We've also got William Mullally with us here in studio. William, we're going to go to the news in just a few moments' time. But I've got to ask you, I got you here in the studio as well. Is it 2018? Summer just around the corner. We've been talking about the heat. A lot of people will be heading to the cinema. We got blockbusters aplenty to look forward to over the next few weeks.
Tom Cruise is going to be risking his life all across theaters in the UAE.
The world is good.
Can't wait.
Is that something to look forward to, from what you've heard?
Yeah, the premieres just happened this week, and from what I've heard, it's probably the best in the series so far. So I'm going to be doing a marathon of all five films to catch up.
So I noticed on one of the sort of satellite channels here recently that they've dedicated an entire channel to Tom Cruise for the summer as well. So you can do back-to-backs all day long.
Oh, as you should, as you should. He'll look up Risky Business, Magnolia, all of them.
And in terms of him and, of course, moving forward, he's shooting the new Top Gun at the moment or not?
He is, and Val Kilmer is back with him. So
no way, really?
Yeah.
Iceman's back, is he?
Yeah, he was petitioning on social media, please, Tom, put me in the movie, and I think it succeeded.
So a good time to get to the movies.
Absolutely.
William, if people want to stay in touch with you and, of course, your reading of films out there, what's the best way for them to do that?
Go on Twitter at whmullally and thecutaway.co.
Good to see you. You traveling this summer or not?
Yeah, I'll be going to see Jason Statham in just a couple weeks.
Oh, look at that. Boom. Just dropped that one, didn't he, at the end? Okay. William Mullally, thank you very much indeed for your time. Much appreciated. That's William Mullally, a film critic for Al Arabiya, here in the studio with us. Keza from Jebel Ali Village. We put out a little plea for you a little earlier on in the show. So thank you to all those that have got in touch saying, put the water in a bucket and let it cool overnight, then mix and shower the next morning. That was in regards to the water tank on the roof, the plastic water tank, which was getting overheated. Thank you for that, Khaled, for the advice there. I haven't received any 50 degrees message yet on WhatsApp. However, this morning, my car showed an outside temperature in the 40s as well. So there we go. A lot of people are suggesting. But then again, is that? I've always sort of looked at. You get in your car and you see the temperature in the car on the car dial, and you go, "Oh, look at that! It's 43 degrees. It's 44 degrees." But is that a true example? Because that's your car, which is sort of walking sauna, isn't it?
Yeah, it's been sitting out there baking all day. I don't know how. I always take it with a grain, you know, with a pinch of salt. I always think maybe, you know, could be 3 degrees cooler than what it says.
A lot of people have been texting in with their advice of how to deal with the summer months. Thank you very much indeed for that one. Just to deal with those ones before we move on to our other topic of comedy, this one came through from Wayne saying, one day someone explained to me that antiperspirant was probably making my sweating worse by trying to block a naturally occurring bodily function. So I tried a regular stick deodorant, specifically Old Spice, says Wayne this morning. And since then, I still sweat, but not nearly as much as I did with antiperspirant. So good advice there. Thank you very much indeed for that one. Let's get on to comedy, because we've been talking about Sacha Baron Cohen. He has been making headlines, which basically is what Sacha Baron Cohen's there for, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it wouldn't be any fun if he didn't have these outrageous personalities and do exactly that, get people on the spot to admit things that they really think.
His new show, Who is America, was shot in secrecy. And the satirist's new show sees him take an aim at Donald Trump, the U.S. political elite. It looks set to be something truly special. It's going to be the TV event of the year, according to many. But has he gone too far? And can comedy ever go too far? That's one of the questions we've been posing to you this morning. A lot of people have been having their say on that one. What have people been saying?
Well, Raj has said, I imagine he wouldn't have had to go too far to dupe Sarah Palin. Artem has said, I read about that. I don't really like Sarah Palin, but it's not right to go so far to deceive someone. Mel has said, comedy should always be free and open. It's an opportunity to bring some lightness to heavy situations. People nowadays can't take a joke. Takes all the fun out of it. And Matt has said, tricking a politician to reveal what they really think is certainly not as harmful as politicians trying to trick their constituents on issues that actually count.
This one's from Michael. He's texted on 4001 saying, nothing is off limits in comedy. That doesn't mean it's a good idea to tell a particular joke. Of course, I shouldn't have to tell you that it's unwise to go and tell jokes that are inappropriate in inappropriate areas. Thank you very much indeed for that one. Another one coming through, no name with this one. As a satirist, ensuring that his audience includes his targets is part of the job and the most frustrating part as well. Another one that's come through from Mark. Whether someone is considered funny or socially acceptable or anything short of just being an idiot can flow from the subject matter or treatment of that matter. But those are not limitations on comedy. They are just limitations on culture. No artificial boundaries are even needed. And Jen's been in touch as well, saying, no, it's imperative that there be limits in comedy. Now, that's not to say that you personally cannot find things offensive or not your cup of tea, but free speech should always apply to comics. No topic should be off limits. Jen, thank you for that one. I suppose with comedy as well is you know what you're getting, don't you? I mean, if you buy a ticket to go and see Ricky Gervais, you know what you're going to get.
Exactly.
Yeah, go ahead.
When you're going to see these certain types of comedians, they have an image around them that they you know exactly what type of comedy they do. And so you're expecting it. For someone to walk out of a show like that, why would you even go there in the first place?
Mm. But then, suppose if you go into a theater to see a comedian do a stand up, you know what you're going to get. The same, I suppose, applies to buying a ticket to go to watch it in a film or watch it in a movie theater.
Yeah, I suppose. I guess films are probably more sort of watched by commercial interests, so they're probably sanitized a little bit more. But I was thinking about an experience I had going to a stand-up show locally here. Do you ever go to a stand-up show and just cringe at a joke and you think, can I laugh at that? Am I allowed to laugh at that? Because yeah. It's about a topic that is so serious, the kind of topic you're not supposed to laugh at. I actually had this, so the stand-up who was doing that actually addressed that issue. He's like, it's okay, you can laugh. It's comedy. Mm. So, you know, he called out the audience on feeling too cringeworthy to laugh at something.
But have you been to, I mean, maybe not so much a film, but more an event, a comedy event, a comedy gig where people have got up and walked out?
I don't think I've ever seen that in person, but you see it on videos. Mm. You see on videos. I mean, I know that Dave Chappelle in his Netflix special talked about someone actually confronting him on stage because I think he had made a comment about sexual assault. And, you know, some woman actually went up to the stage and started saying sexual assault isn't funny. Mm. And she started screaming at him on stage. And he addressed that in one of his stand-up shows after the fact.
Have you ever been to an event where somebody's walked out? Have you ever been to an event when people have been offended? What is that line between offense and comedy? Your thoughts, please, on this one. Nothing in comedy is off-limits, says Tim. Tim, thank you very much indeed. But he says, but it is very much off-limits to amateur comedians. It takes years of writing, performing, bombing, and dedication to be able to have the professional comedy skills to do edgy material. AKA Rodney Dangerfield, Joan Rivers, Chris Rock, Lenny Bruce, and Don Rickles. Thank you very much indeed for your thoughts there, John. Sorry, not John. That's Tim, because John's just texted in as well, saying, I think that most things that anyone would want to limit have already lost enough mainstream acceptability that you pretty much can't get away with it if you want any sort of consistent audience. Thanks very much indeed for those.
There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcasts at DubaiEye1038.com.